Blog Talk Radio. Never knew my life could be this way. I never knew the sun could shine all day. Never thought I'd live beyond my past until I found you. I never thought I'd be in this place. Oh, I'm blessed, so glad I'm living my life in this place. Ooh, I never
knew my heart
could feel again. You see, I was so hurt, so hurt. Never knew the pain.
listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station. And I would like, good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I would like to welcome you to Wounded No More for this Thursday, March 25th, 2021. And now, my brothers and sisters, here is your anointed facilitator and the woman of God, Prophetess Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Bishop Cook. I appreciate it. And I thank you all for being here tonight with me and even those who will be listening later all over the world. This is, it's really a blessing to be part of a global outreach for this long. And I just thank God for all the leaders and all the other servant leaders on this broadcast. I know that this teaching, when God had led me to teach, this is the last day of the series, but I just wanted to announce, and I told Bishop Cook that I would be announcing this, but I believe the Lord told me this. This is nothing that has to do with me or my own plans, but the Lord said it's good to start a year with love and let's end with love. So I'm going to be, I taught the first 3 months about love, and the last 3 months of the year I will be teaching about love. So whatever, if not, some of these, the things that I'm going to review based on the previous weeks might be repeated. Some of them might be expanded, and some there will be some new topics as well about this topic. And so when he said that to me this morning, I was really like, oh, that makes so much sense because we can't teach enough about this. There have been a couple of times on this broadcast that I have, God has really dealt with me. I got choked up a couple of times because as I was sharing this with Bishop Cook one evening right before I went on, how this is really changing me. It's not an overnight thing, but God is really working on my heart while I'm preparing these teachings and while I teach them. So, and that's something that is not choreographed or planned, but literally reading the scriptures a couple of times, I was just like, okay, there was illumination, there was revelation, but God was breaking up some things in my heart as well about what to do and how, you know, how the word is active and alive. So I always want to start the show off by reminding everyone that based on what you hear tonight and how God speaks to you through me, and whatever he says to you in the scriptures or whatever is said, that you make it your own. You don't change the word, but you learn how that applies to you, not to your neighbor or to somebody at your job or one of your children, but how does it apply to you first? How does it apply to you, and where is God, what is God saying to you specifically about you and him in this word that we're going to present tonight? And that way you really can be able to really live it out. So God would not allow me to compartmentalize these teachings, which means, oh, I'm just teaching Spirit Alive. That don't apply to me. Yeah, it does apply to me. As a matter of fact, it applies to me first. So, and please keep in mind that these things are not mastered by any stretch of the imagination, by any stretch, and I am not an expert on anything that I'm teaching about. It's really just trying to be led and about this love thing that God has for us and that we should have for him and that we should have for others. That's where it started, right? But I'm going to summarize over the last couple of weeks, months, really, the things that I have taught. And prayerfully, if there's some new revelation that comes from this, that'll be powerful. But I usually have a pen and a piece of paper in front of me at all times. And I will be writing these things down because the last 3 months I also will be teaching about love. And so the first week, I just shared with everyone the backstory, how I even came up with this or why, how God was dealing with me about the new year, 2021, after the aftermath and the aftershock of 2020. And of course, there's so many things that I wanted to talk about and teach about. But I said, Lord, at the end of the day, I had to kind of get still and say, Lord, what is going to bless you and what's going to bless your people? Because you know better than I do. I don't want to be a part of cultivating itching ears where people just want to hear what they want to hear because they agree with everything you say. No, I want you to speak to their hearts. You know what we need. And he just said, love. He said, now figure out how, you know, and every week he would give me something. So I had to show the backstory, and I'll just briefly tell you the backstory of this whole platform. I call it the Love Platform because I actually see a platform, something you stand on to get a vantage point. And that's what, and it's a foundational type of thing. So he said, they call it the Love Platform. Okay, because from there you ain't going nowhere but up, right? And so he began to take me to 1 Corinthians 13. Pretty much anybody that's been in, you know, the ministry in a long or serving in any capacity, they're pretty much, and anybody that's done any type of wedding ceremony or been in a wedding ceremony, they hear 1 Corinthians 13. So we become a little like, oh, yeah, they always say that, whatever, whatever. But he took me back to that and had me stop at, I think, at the third verse where it says, and I'm paraphrasing, where if you have all these gifts and spiritual insight and all this stuff, and you may be able to do this, but if you don't have love, you are a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. And so Amplified said, you are useless. I was like, wow. You're useless. You are useless. I don't care about the pomp and circumstances and the suits and the dresses and this and that and all the rules. If you are not walking in love, if you are doing all this stuff to be seen, right, you're noisy. And when it says a useless nobody, that's what it said in Amplified. I was like, oh, my God. So I was stuck on that verse and meditated on that verse for literally 3 days straight. He said, I want you to come. And from that place came these different topics, right? I talked about, what is a love? You know, the commandment in Matthew, Jesus said that, you know, how we're to love him and love others as we love ourselves, and that, you know, the order of it all and how important that is, and get it together, put him first, love him first, and that'll help you to love others and to love yourself. And so I hit on that in detail, and I realized that a lot of times we got it backwards. We try to love from empty place. We try to, and when you're caught up in legalism and tradition and things of that nature and religion, you will put the cart before the horse. You'll say, well, I know God loves me, and that's enough. But then you abuse yourself, and then you abuse other people. And it's like, and we still see it. We still see the manifestations of those things are not in order. I was talking to my husband about this scripture, and you know, he teaches on Tuesday night. And one of the things he brought out, he was like, well, there's a reason why the word is written the way it's written in the order that it's written, and it points to instruction and direction. And I said, that's true. I agree. So I said, you know, why does he tell us to love him first? But from that place, it generated this thing about, and I believe Bishop Cook and I and Apostle Zeta and different ones and Minister Scott and Deacon Williams, we all had an open discussion one day about deterrence of love.
Yeah.
And that was a good one because we all come from different walks of life. We're all different ages and race. And a male. So we all were able to talk about what deters love. Some of us talked about unforgiveness, bitterness, and many of us talked about hurts and different things like that, the lack of humility, trauma. And we talked about all these things that even though we're servant leaders, we're human, and we go with these things, and God wants to deal with those things. But we also talked about what they produce. Deterrence produce something. They definitely don't produce love. Love produces love.
Amen.
That's what I believe.
Amen.
But deterrence, we talked, it was an open discussion, and I really appreciated the participation. It was a collective effort because I think we need to see different facets. The fact that we're different ages. Some of us have been in ministry for over 40, 50 years. Some of us have just started. Some of us have different callings and vocations in ministry. And we brought it all to the table that night and talked about it. And I really appreciated that. That might be something I do at the end of the year, but in a bigger way. So with all the people on the platform, if they would like to participate. I think it's time for us to have these kinds of, when we love one another and we share with one another's burdens, we're able to really have truth. We can talk about the truth of what's going on so that God will work on our hearts so we can resolve these things. So that had to do with the capacity to love. And so we had to talk about the deterrence if we're talking about the capacity to love, which, and going back to scripture about how these things were God has put this stuff in us. So we have everything we need to love, to walk in love, to be loved, and to love ourselves. I had to talk about humility. As a, and, you know, when you talk about love, you have to talk about the heart, and you have to talk about humility. And Bishop Cook, I remember her giving us a great example of a level of humility and things that you have to go through just to be able to be submissive to those in authority over you, or especially if they're abusive and all of this stuff. And I was like, and that still goes on. I thank God for no matter where we are, we still can see the relevancy of the word, which means it can be applied in our lives on a daily basis, and it's applicable. It's not so lofty and high that we don't know how to do it. When she talked about just how she serves and was sharing about the people that she ministers to, and it was like you have to be able to see them the way that God sees them, right? And when she talked about that, when she's talked about that, I realized that if we're not doing that, okay, we can do that with people that are unchurched, right? See how easy that is when it comes, but when it comes to each other that we serve with every day, we sometimes can be a little judgmental or dismissive or intolerant or impatient. And then so go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is what?
Yes.
Love is patient. Love is kind. And it tells you what love is not. And so I found myself over these weeks, over these months, constantly going back to these foundational scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13, as well as in Galatians about bearing one another's burdens, and in Ephesians about the, and in Romans about the what, nothing separates us from his love. And talking about the height, the breadth, and the width, and that was just about the dimensions and the measure of love, which means, okay, God loves us this way, and so many, nothing separates us from his love, but are we receptive to his love? So we always talk about loving others and loving him, but some people are not receptive to the love of God. And I remember Deacon Williams was saying, because they don't know, they come from, because of his area of ministry and his job and things, dealing with the mentally ill, dealing with people that don't know what love is, all they know is abuse. And when they come into Christendom, you know, it's hard for them. They work hard. They may be just so willing to do, but they don't know how to receive love from others or God. So that has to be taught. And a lot of these principles, what I realized was we have to be teachable. Therein comes the humility again.
Yes.
So, because it doesn't come naturally. I also mentioned the book of Gospels, John. I call that the love book.
Yes.
And so I said, if you ever want to understand how Jesus loved us and how he taught from that place of love, go back to that book and just study it and meditate on it. So I'm volleying back and looking at all my notes and things from the different weeks. And this one week we talked about, I taught about loving in a place of darkness. Whether that person is, and I brought up Mother Teresa and different ones who have gone through a lot of trauma. We talked about that, the trauma that they go through and how you love others in dark places, learning to love yourself in dark places, learning to love others in dark places and being receptive to God's love if you're in that dark place. So we talked about all the things that get in the way, not just of love, but what can cause you to be in a dark place. It could be from depression to sickness to abuse, you name it, injustices that are constant and systemic. We see these every day, but we know love covers a multitude of sin. And I mentioned that, and it says earnestly that scripture that I in 1 Peter 4 and 8, to limit, to be stretched, to be in uncomfortable places. So when you learn to love people in this place of endurance, that is what I saw. And what I saw was I use the analogy of a weightlifter, somebody who is straining to lift that weight over his head. If anybody's ever watched the Olympics, they watch the heavy, the guys that are lifting, or sometimes they're women, and they're lifting that weight, and they are struggling to lift that over their heads, and they're shaking. So when the Lord said love covers and love suffers long and it's straining sometimes and you have to stretch. And so there are sometimes when we're walking in love and doing things, and we literally are doing everything in our own strength, and it's uncomfortable. And the Lord said, but I'm still there to help you lift burdens as well, so that you can teach others how to lift burdens. But I don't think we should think it's a cakewalk. And that's what I wanted to communicate is, see yourself as that bodybuilder who has been trained, who has been trained well, who has been training for years to be in the Olympics, and he wants to, you know, win those medals, and he's learning to lift that over his head. But don't think that he won't strain to do it. He's got that strength. He's built up. He's trained. So God said, these are the things that are in us. These are the things that will bring out his love. Sometimes until we get into these challenging places where people will try your very nerves, or you'll be in something that you've never been in, and it's people hating you, spewing hate at you and abusing you, and not until you realize, I must have the Holy Spirit, because I truly got through that without reacting in my flesh. And I surely had every right to, and you didn't. And that's when you feel the strain, but yet God comes in and helps us bear up under those things. But he also enables us to help others to bear up under that. And that's when I talked about the capacity to love, as well as bearing one another's burdens, coming from Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10. And the highlights were specifically verses 8 through 10. And I mentioned 2 Thessalonians 3:13 that talks about us warning against being idle when it comes to coming to each other's aid and preferring the body of Christ. And there's just certain things we see other people go through, and sometimes we say, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But when we begin to ask the Holy Spirit, how do I help them in this place? How do I show love? How do I show love? And as I was looking over my notes, I had to keep in mind to note this, that when we're kind to one another, that's love. That's not just kindness. If it comes from a place where it might be a small gesture, but it's a kind gesture, that's when the kindness and love are linked together spiritually. And that's in scripture as well. It's called brotherly love. It's in 2 Peter verses, 2 Peter 1 verses 1 through, I think, 8. But you know how it talks about all the manifestations of the Spirit and walking in love and the fruits of the Spirit, where brotherly love is one of them. Brotherly love, kindness, being kind to one another. If anybody has been paying attention, I think over the last year or two, that's been like a big theme. You see, people have the word kindness on their chest, or they are doing a hashtag campaign about just be kind. Be kind to one another. Mm-hmm. And it's not just people. It's not just people in Christianity. It's not just Christians. It's a lot of people. But they're onto something. But I always, they're onto something, because it's a very simple thing. But when we do it amongst the body of Christ and those who have the Holy Spirit, it is an expression of love to be kind. Sometimes being kind is not just what you do. It's how you think about a person. And the Lord dealt with me about that. He said, nobody knows what you're thinking but me, you know. He said, but you're not kind the way you're thinking about that person. You're not kind. Mm-hmm. I see your thoughts. And that got my attention, because I'm telling you, when God is picking something apart and developing us, he's going to pick it apart from the heart level.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, and because, you know, like they say, what's inside comes out. So what's in your heart is going to come out. So why wouldn't he address being kind to people based on how you think about them? Even if they acting a fool, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Come on now.
You have to see them. And that is a discipline. To see somebody the way that he sees them,
God,
it doesn't come natural, does it? You know, it's not natural.
No.
And every time you see them, they something is crazy. So, and so you have to ask the Lord, literally, show me how you see them, Lord, so I can treat them accordingly. And you might have to have them have you. You might have to ask him to do that with you all the time. You don't remember to do it. I'm just saying, because they seem to never change. But that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to love them and treat them the way. Even if they're not acting the way that he sees them, We're still to learn to love them. That's why that learning factor is huge, because it doesn't come naturally. So we have to be still and humble before the Lord and submissive to him and learning to walk in love towards people that are not easy to love. And I would use myself as an example. I was not easy to love until I started to begin to heal and God began to heal me. I was difficult and always trying to protect myself and didn't trust people and all this, and isolating and all this, and had a chip on my shoulder. And so the Lord always brings that back to me. He said, how would you love somebody like that, Vanessa? And I said, being patient. See, that goes back to 1 Corinthians. Love is what? Patient. I would be kind to them. Well, how would you be kind? So I remember when I read 1 Corinthians 13 one time to everybody, and I was stopping in between almost every word and every sentence to generate questions, open-ended questions that the Holy Spirit was asking me. And I was doing that to let everybody know, when you read the word about love or anything for that matter, and God is leading you to a scripture, begin to stop and meditate and listen to what he's saying to you. Maybe you write things down. Maybe you try to answer the questions. Maybe you say, Lord, that's something that you're going to have to help me with. Can you give me clarity so that there is some level of interaction and responsiveness to the word while you're reading it? See, love is one of those things that we will always, it don't matter how much you study it and all, if you're not doing it, what's the point? And that's what he showed me. He said, I want you to understand why I would have you do these things. I want you to have wisdom and why you're doing these things. And I want you to know. So I want you to have wisdom, understand, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding about this. At the end of the day, understand that wisdom is knowledge applied. So you know all this, so do it. Okay? And there will be sometimes you won't do it perfectly, and there will be sometimes you'll slip up. But God knows our hearts and is going to hold us accountable by showing us what's in our hearts. You know how some people say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart, and he's going to show you your heart so you can be accountable. And so he's not going to just say, yeah, I know your heart, and not show you what's in your heart. And so and I think that that's one of the ways when I begin to talk about how do we love ourselves. As servant leaders, I'm sure all of us have different stories to tell about the developing of knowing what that even is and how is that relevant to my walk with God, because I believe some of us had to learn how to love ourselves and how to be receptive to let others love us. I was coming from a place of distrust. Maybe somebody was coming from a place of just being super independent. Maybe somebody else was coming from a place where I'll just wait till they help me. You know, everybody's coming from a place, a different place of, I would say, lack. So we do need the Lord to be good servant leaders, but that does not mean wear yourself out and, you know, then be all resentful and being passive aggressive about things because you didn't take care of yourself when God was telling you to take care of yourself and balance. Know how to say no, but also know how to say yes and when. And so I did touch on that when I was talking about developing our love walk. Doesn't mean you get to abuse yourself. Most of the time, if you're doing that, you will eventually abuse others, whether it's intentionally or not. Become bitter. I've seen it time and time again. You become bitter, sarcastic. It starts affecting your faith walk. You don't believe. You don't trust because you put yourself in a place where you were trying to please men instead of trying to please God and trying to what it looks like. So we have to be careful of those things, of slipping into these dark places. They don't happen overnight. And I really enjoyed this series because I realized there's so much in this still that Lord, you didn't even touch on. But I believe that it was helping everybody to kind of start scratching the surface in their own lives about where your love walk is. Does it need to be developed? Are you dealing with somebody in your life that's in a dark place because they don't know how to receive love or they don't trust the love of God? How do we love others in our lives, whether they're difficult to love or not? It doesn't matter. Do we see them the way that God sees them? And, of course, kindness and heart issues. Of course, we can't talk about love without talking about heart issues. Talk about sacrificial love. And that is one of the things that, that love is, whether it's for people that we know that are actually we're related to or people that we don't know. Sacrificial, just like for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so that's a foundational scripture. It's on everything. We see it everywhere. But when we start to think about he loved the world and so he gave his only begotten son, giving is love. Love has to be the foundation of everything we do. That's why it has to be a foundational thing. And it has to go beyond our comfort zone. And we have to be able to see ourselves the way God sees us. And I believe one of the ways he sees us is loving one another. The thing that made me cry, the first show I did, I think it was the first one I did, was reading Jesus saying to them, that's how the world will know you are my disciples, based upon how the way you love one another. And I just broke down because I realized that that's not what we see. And at the same time that I was realizing I need to develop that in a better way this year, I also realized that it was so many other things that we substitute for that. But that's not how we love one another. We do everything else. You know what I mean? To cover it. I'm not trying to be deep, but I'm just saying. That's what he said. There's so many other things, but that's not love. That's not love. So there's a lot of broken relationships and a lot of, I would say, throwed away people because of that, because we don't love each other. And if and you know what? And at the same time, I was sad, but then at the same time, I was refreshed. You know why? Because the truth is a lie. It's important to be truthful so that we can get back to where we need to be. Ain't no sense in lying and covering it up and calling it something else. If we don't love each other, then we need to realize where did we go wrong? Where did we get off? And then get back on and just and let the word be the base. So I don't think it's honest to lie and say, yes, we do. No, not like we should. No, we do not. No, we do not. There's too many isms and too much divisions. And too much competition and brand brand me and all that. So I said, where is God in all of that? And let's just make sure that it's about Jesus. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
And about what this is. We get lost in this. Everything else gets lost in the sauce. And so that made me cry.
Yes.
Broke my heart because I'm realizing.
My Lord.
There are so many people that are leaving Christianity, and that's one of the things they say. They don't love each other. There's so much hate.
Yeah.
There's so much hatred and division.
Mm-hmm.
Who would want to be a Christian these days?
Come on.
I said, okay, Lord. you know, they live one way. They live one way in church and live another way. It's just a lot. So, and I'm in my 50s and my kids are millennials, and when you hear them talk about it, they are very blunt about what they think about Christianity and what they think about church. And that breaks my heart. And yet they tell them the truth. So I said, okay, Lord, we got a lot of work to do. He said, we do, but unity is one of the things that gets in the way. We're supposed to have unity, but yet there's not unity of mind and heart because there's no love, or there's very little, or it's not consistent, or it's not unconditional love. It's based on whether I like you today and tomorrow I may not. So that's not love. That's a popularity contest. So I said, okay, Lord, and so for the long haul. I do believe that God is still speaking to us. It's because we still have the word. We still have the capacity to love, and we can be transparent before him.
Yeah.
And start with ourselves. Start with ourselves first, and then begin to talk about, and then begin to be part of the solution. I will share this with everyone. This was just a summary of everything. So it's not very long, but it was just a summary of the weeks and that I have been dealing with this love thing. But something I put on Facebook tonight, well, I put it on earlier today, and it was basically from a place about healing. And Bishop Cook knows that's one of my passions. So healing, spiritual healing, and mental wholeness and all that kind of stuff, it's always been my thing. And I was, I forget what scripture I was reading, studying the Word of God. I think I was studying Proverbs. But anyway, it made me think about what gets in the way of us not being able to receive wisdom from God, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Why is it so hard, you know, other than sin, of course. But he brought me back to, he said some people are stuck in a cycle because of pain, because of hurt, just mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And so I began to say, he said, so if they can't even sometimes understand the scripture. And so I'm trying to give them a scripture and say, be healed. And they'd be like looking at you like, what's that mean? You have to walk that out with me. And so what I put on there is I said, we can go to church, be delivered, which is important.
Right.
But that's just the beginning of healing. And I said, we have to be willing to be disciples. Discipleship is a key part of healing. So we have to be able to sit with that person until they believe and until they trust what the Word says about their healing. And I said, stop faking. Stop faking the fun.
Yeah.
And be transparent with people and be willing. But I know that I didn't want it to come off like it was everybody's responsibility. But because all of us have different components of that. But I do believe this. It is a love thing. Whether you're feeding somebody on the street who's homeless or whether you're sitting in church teaching people that have gone through trauma or whether you are cleaning the church or whether you're making sure that that mother on your block or in your neighborhood has what she needs for her kids
because
she's going through domestic abuse or maybe it's being an advocate for those who have attempted suicide and those who have lost loved ones. Maybe it's to make sure that you are feeding people every day in kitchen.
Yes, amen.
Maybe you're teaching kids in school. So it's not just things that we do evangelically or in churches. Sometimes being a teacher, being a senator, being somebody who is a healthcare worker.
An advocate,
advocate and be a voice for somebody who does not have a voice. Understand things politically. Understand things about the government. Be able to be an advocate for so somebody can figure out how to do their taxes. It could be anything. So, but as long as God is leading you to do that with love, not like you owe me something. And you can never repay me. Can we ever repay our debt? No. It was paid already. So that makes me just say, okay, this is a lot, Lord. And there's so much more that's coming out. And so because of that, I also want to share one last thing. I didn't know if I was going to share this, but I will share this. At the beginning of last year, and this is me being transparent because everybody that knows me knows that's what I do. That's one of the things that helps me keep it real.
Amen.
Last year was hard, and we were not able to really go out and do things, you know, like we usually do. We had to stop our regular stuff. So anyway, it made you slow down, and that's a good thing. Well, it made me slow down and start looking at things in a whole different way. And I realized that I had some emotional things that were just out of whack, and it made me be resentful in some ways in the relationships that I had. I wanted my relationships to be better. And on my end, I can't talk about, but on my end, I realized I blocked people or something. There was still something that wasn't the way it should be. So I went into therapy, you all. I went into therapy in September, and I'm still in therapy. And it has really helped me so much.
All right.
At the end of the day, God is, you know, Jesus is the paraclete. He is the one. He is the teacher. He is the counselor.
Yes, amen.
And so this individual that my therapist is just somebody that's helping me declutter. And So I believe because of all the decluttering and because of the levels of healing and having to write out my trauma narratives, and that has been gut-wrenching. I was raw, like, most of the time. I just thank God for peeling
back
layers.
Bless Jesus. Yes, Lord.
And layers.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So that post that you saw on tonight, those who have been on Facebook, comes from a place where it just began to birth more compassion for people that are suffering.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
For whatever reason, you can have Jesus and still have a therapist.
That's right. You sure can. You better say that.
Only because it'll allow you to love more, your capacity to serve will be better and more balanced and real and truthful and authentic, and you will help a whole lot more people.
Hallelujah.
And the Holy Spirit will be able to really use you because
you
will have less and less blocks.
Hallelujah.
And so that is how I just wanted to share that with everybody. But I also want to read this last scripture. And it has been life-changing, the therapy, but also this series has been life-changing. God's not going to allow you to teach and then those words don't cut coming and going.
Come on.
They're going to cut
Come
others,
on, say
but
that.
They're going to cut you too. So,
amen.
and so that's one of the things that I think is a benefit, and I'm thankful to Bishop Cook and the Spirit Alive Network for allowing me and trusting me to do this, because I get what I need so that others can get what they need too.
That's
but
right.
I'm going
amen.
To, 2 Peter, I'm going to read this. And I'm going to close. 2 Peter verse chapter 1, starting at the third verse. And I want everybody to highlight verse 8. So his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which great promises by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And this is the highlight. For with all these qualities are yours and are increasing. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight we're just talking about love. Thank God for all those other attributes.
Yes.
But it says if they are increasing
and
being developed in us, then they help us know who Jesus is even more so. And then we can be that light and that salt in the earth for souls that don't know him other than seeing us. You know, there's a song I think is saying, what if God was one of us, and that's another one. But we're sometimes the only Jesus that some people will ever see. Thank you, Bishop, for this opportunity. I'm going to close, but I had to share that last story and then the scripture.
All right. Hallelujah. First and foremost, I just want to say to you, Prophetess Vanessa, this has been just a phenomenal series. And right now we have a few moments left, so if you are in the studio and you would like to put your praise on it, you can press your 1 and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. We do have Apostle Zeta Flowers in the house, and I know she too has truly enjoyed this series. So Apostle Zeta, would you like to come on in the room?
Yes, I would. I just had a contractor here, and he's just leaving. But, yes, I certainly would. Give me a second. It's only a second.
Amen.
Thank you so much. All right. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to stop for a
That's
minute.
That's all right. Go ahead, Mother Apostle.
Oh, no, he's gone. Have to do some measuring. Okay. Yes, I enjoyed what I heard. I enjoyed the reviewing. I enjoyed it was just a whole nother message in there, and the teaching was excellent, very, very good. And I like what you were saying, how, you know, we really, really love and really have that true agape love that only could come from Jesus.
Amen.
How, you know, we suffer. I mean, love suffers long.
Yes.
Sometimes because, you know, we have to endure some things, you know, people
yes,
passing up or, you know, maybe even cursing us out. I've experienced it and things
well,
like that. So those are some of the areas where we suffer long because we keep on being who we are in Christ Jesus. So, and then I like what you were saying about the kindness. Kindness goes a long way. And as you were saying, Prophetess Vanessa, it is an expression of love. You know,
yes,
when somebody is kind to somebody, no matter what's going on with them, they might be angry, they may be hurt, they may be going through a lot of things and maybe not even have any hope.
Mm-hmm.
When we show our kindness toward them, then they can feel the love, you know, and they can really believe that we are who we say we are. Meaning, you know, children of God, women of God, you know, men of God. And I won't take a lot of time, but it was just good. I really enjoyed it. So God bless you. That was a blessing.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. We just love you, Apostle Zeta. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Anyone else? There are still a few moments to put your praise on it. Like I said, I agree with everything that you said, Prophetess. Truly, we have to see people as Christ sees them because if we don't, we're always going to be walking around offended and we can get in our feelings and be judgmental. And, you know, as we all know, Christ is a he's a relational God. And if you know, he is a relational God, you know, he's a loving God, you know, and if we're truly going to be servant leaders like him, then we have to take the time to actively listen. That's an act of love. We have to actively listen. We have to actively be patient. So we can get the full story so we don't snap to, you know, make snap decisions, you know.
Amen.
And then as they're talking, we have to actively pray. All of these things are acts of love for our brothers and sisters that can start the healing process. You know, sometimes we should be less eager to talk and more eager to love.
Yeah,
true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We really, some of us really do need to do that. Because and no matter what, I love what you said, Prophetess, is it doesn't matter how crazy people act towards us because God is a relational God. He's looking at our response.
Amen.
Because it doesn't matter what another man does. If we love Jesus, we are going to love them in spite of themselves. We're not going to drop down to their level. We're going to love them up to our level.
Amen.
So then, and I also love what you said about having a therapist. There's no shame in having a therapist. And I believe that the Lord can use a therapist to help you to articulate a process.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can be ever so, you know, Holy Ghost led and all that good stuff. You know what I mean? But sometimes we need somebody right down here that can help us to articulate the process.
Yeah.
You know, because how did you, well, how were you healed? We like to say, oh, Jesus healed me. How?
No.
Well, to tell you the truth, took a lot of therapy, a lot of self-examination, you know, a lot of getting real, you know, and then, you know, if you want to fill in some details here and there, whatever the Lord so leads you, fine. But transparency is an act of love. We can't all just be sitting around, you know, acting like we don't need help.
That's right.
That's what agape love is all about. That's what familial love is all about, helping one another. As we said last night, bring those problems out into the open. Bring those hurts out into the open. If we love one another, let's talk about it. Let's shine the light of God's word on it. Let's pray about it. Let's touch and agree so some people can get healed.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I know one thing. I don't know everything, but this one thing I do know, and I can say like Paul, I know I have passed from life to death because I love my brethren. I truly do. Do they hurt you? Yes, but that doesn't stop me from loving. Do they disappoint you? Yes, but it doesn't stop me from hurting. It doesn't stop me from loving them. And it shouldn't stop you either. So, again, I can't wait till the end of the year. And, again, as I have said, also Apostle Zeta has been preaching on love and teaching on love. And I was saying, you know, see, I said, now, see, that's God's love for us. Because even though we don't always be on one another's program, the Holy Spirit still has us teaching and preaching about the same thing. We're still on one accord. And, again, that's an act of love.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to praise God for the messenger, for the teaching.
Amen.
I want to praise God for your heart, your transparency, woman of God. And Father God, I just want to thank you for all that you have done through her, Lord. And I just pray, Lord God, that somebody that didn't know you in the pardon of their sin, Lord God, came to you knowing that you are love, Lord, and knowing that you are just waiting to be their Lord and their Savior. Lord God, we just pray right now that you would continue to help some others. They would use this lesson, these teachings, Lord, to pull down that stronghold, those strongholds of hurt and resentment and all the things that are not of you, Father God, because we want to lay aside every weight because we love you, Lord, and we want to serve you in excellence, and we want to serve you in spirit and in truth, Lord God, and we want to be obedient to your word, Lord, and you have declared and decreed and commanded us to love one another as you have first loved us, so that the whole world will know that we are your disciples. Thus, we can make other disciples of other men, and they can go be therefore into all the world and make disciples, just as you have commanded. So, Lord, we just praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you for the woman of God. We pour in her to her, Lord, because she poured in to us mightily tonight, Lord God. Thank you for Apostle Zeta, Lord. Thank you for all of those that are present, Lord God, that did not want to speak. But, Lord God, we just praise you that they were here to listen. So, Lord, just continue to use us. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love one another, and we're not ashamed to declare it. We're not ashamed. To decree it. We're not ashamed to show it. So, Lord, we thank you.
Amen.
And we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In your beautiful, mighty, precious, wonderful name. Amen.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
We have truly been blessed on tonight.
Amen.
By our beautiful sister, Prophetess Vanessa Carver.
Amen.
And I want to just thank Apostle Zeta Flowers again for her comments. Amen. And thank all of you for listening. And we just pray that you continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network on tomorrow.
Yes,
you can join Pastor Jeffrey Scott for Every Man Standing in His Place. Hallelujah. And then on Sunday, join us for the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, where Apostle Zeta Flowers will be speaking, and her message will be entitled, My Confidence is in God. Well, okay, now we're talking about some love.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You, mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
So we just pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network, and for, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Mm-hmm. Good night, saints of God, and God bless you. Amen,
amen.
Beautiful ladies. God bless you, women of God. Hallelujah.
Thank
I love you.
Good night.
Amen. Night.